Well, good morning and welcome to New Life Family Church. It's a great honor to have you guys here this morning to worship God. We're going to take a few minutes and open the Word. And as you can see, we're going to talk about faithfulness this morning. And sometimes when faithfulness is mentioned, like in churchy church world, we automatically go to marriage. And we just think of being faithful in marriage. And, well, they didn't have an affair. Well, that's not exactly what we're talking about today. I mean, I guess that's part of it, if you will, is being faithful. That's a great example of what it means to remain faithful. But today we're going to talk more than just that little part of being faithful and what that means. We're going to talk about the bigger picture of creating an enduring faithfulness to God. And just to be clear, right out of the gate, faithfulness is not a feeling. We don't think about and feel faithful. We make a choice. I choose to be faithful to God. I choose to be faithful to the kingdom of God. So it's more of a choice than a feeling. So you might not feel inspired by this message, but I pray that as we look at these scriptures, you would allow them to change your heart and your mind so that you would choose faithfulness. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a thug gangster, straight up gangster. He was a part of the biggest squad in Jerusalem that hated Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was such a gangster that Paul was a part of the group that used to arrest and beat and murder people for believing in Jesus. He was a thug. He was a straight up savage thug. We think of the Apostle Paul from writing the New Testament or writing most of the New Testament, we're like, oh, the Apostle Paul, he's my favorite. No. He was a dirty thug that like killed a lot of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we realize that Paul is hating Christians and this is his life. He's not living for Jesus at all. But he has this encounter with Jesus that changes everything. And he repented of his sin and he made Jesus the Lord of his life. And he committed, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to serve you. Whatever you have for me, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to serve you. So the Lord sent Paul all over the known world at that time, all over the Mediterranean world. And Paul was taking the message of this Jewish Messiah to the Gentile world. And that was his job. So he was raising up other young men under him to pastor different churches. And one of these young men was a man named Timothy. We estimate Timothy was right around 20 or maybe early 20s. And he was pastoring one of the largest churches in the world. So Paul would write letters to Timothy to encourage him and to strengthen him. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord because he has enabled me and because he has counted me faithful to be put into the ministry. And although I was formerly a blasphemer, I was formerly a persecutor, I was formerly an insolent man, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and I did it in unbelief. And it was the grace of our Lord that was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are both found in Christ Jesus. So I don't know who you are. I don't know how you came into this place this morning. But if you used to be a sinner, if you used to hate God, if you used to not think about God, that's okay. Because so was the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul said, but then I had this encounter with the grace of God. And he repented of his sin. He made Jesus the Lord of his life. And it was through that process that the Lord counted Paul faithful to serve in the ministry. Another scripture says it's the love of God that'll lead us to repentance. So Paul became faithful to God, and he became faithful to spreading the good news all over the known world. And faithfulness was a big deal to Paul. As you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, faithfulness and being faithful to God was kind of a big deal. I mean, he'd talk about it all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, as a person who has been put in charge, that manager must be faithful. So as a leader, God puts a premium on faithfulness. And you might say, listen, I'm not really a leader. You're the leader of your home. You're the leader of your apartment. You're the leader of your marriage, the leader of your family, the leader of your dog park. You're the leader of your Kroger. You're the leader of your workplace. You're the leader of your school. If you have Jesus, the leader of it all, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, living on the inside of you, you're the leader of whatever room you walk into. And faithfulness to the Apostle Paul and obviously to the Lord is so important. To develop enduring faithfulness to God is a key. So let me just sum it all up. For Paul, the anointing that came from God was proportionate to the faithfulness to God that we have. In other words, let me say this. The power of God will not be poured out if there's not high levels of faithfulness to God. So many people in the church today, they wonder, you know, why? Where's the power of God? Where's the presence of God? How come, you know, Billy and Susie and Timmy, how come they seem to have so much more of God than I do? And they're wondering where the faithfulness is of God, and God is wondering where our faithfulness to him is. So the key, a lot of it waits on us. So let's look at what Jesus said about faithfulness. World famous, you know, message. You've all read this or heard this story from Matthew chapter 25. It was a parable, and Jesus was using this illustrated story to explain the kingdom of God. He said that there was a master that had three servants. The master was going to go away, so he was going to give some money to these three guys to invest and to help the family business to grow. Two of the guys, they doubled their money. One guy got a lot of money, another guy got a little bit of money. That third guy only got a little money. But the first two guys, the guy with a lot of money, the guy with a medium amount of money, they doubled their investment while their master was away. And then the third guy, you know, he was a coward and he was lazy. He just took that one amount of money and he buried it. And he was unfaithful to the boss. But when the boss returns, Jesus explains faithfulness like this to the two guys that doubled the investment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Jesus puts an extreme value on his followers that they would become faithful. And in fact, if you read that story all the way to the end, the one guy that wasn't faithful, he's stripped of everything and then thrown out to die. Like, Jesus is a big fan of faithfulness, not a big fan of those that are unfaithful. There's a calling on the body of Christ, there's a calling on you and I to be faithful to the Lord. You can't half-heiny your Christianity. I said heiny because we've got visitors here this morning. You can't half-heiny your Christianity. You have to whole-heiny Christianity. You've got to be all in. I'm totally committed. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful to read and study the Bible. I'm going to be faithful to serve, because saved people serve people. I'm going to be faithful to live holy and not live in sin. I'm going to be faithful to worship and show up on time for worship. I'm going to be faithful to love other people. I'm going to be faithful to spread the gospel wherever I go. I will be faithful to God. The Lord can count on me. The word faithful is used a lot in Scripture. And faithfulness is something that God is looking for in us. But in life, we're looking for God to do a lot of things for us, but God is actually looking for us to be faithful to him. Let me say this thing. We look for God to do things. God's looking for us to be faithful to him. Faithfulness is what God is looking for us to do in return. Faith is when you can trust God. Faithfulness is when God can trust you. Faith is when we trust God. Faithfulness is when God can trust us. I've been in ministry for a little over 23 years now. And the number one theme or thing that I've learned from all these years of ministry, from when I was a youth pastor, when I was in Bible college, when I was a missionary, when I was an associate pastor, and now as a senior pastor, the most important and underlying thing that I've seen over the 23 years is faithfulness. Showing up day after day and doing your best. Being faithful to love God. Being faithful to love your spouse. Being faithful to love the Word. Being faithful to live holy. Even live holy when nobody else is looking. And for the first 15 years of my ministry, I wasn't the boss. I was working for other people. I was working for other churches or working for other ministries. And that's where you really learn to be faithful, is when there's nobody looking, will you remain faithful to God and faithful to the call in your life, faithful to wherever God has placed you. So whatever dream team you serve on, whether you know you're serving on the ushers or the worship or the media or the tech or the prayer or the children's or the security or wherever you serve, are you being faithful to serve with integrity? And most people that go into Christian service, I've definitely seen it in the ministry, most people that enter into any kind of Christian service, they will rarely make it to that next phase of their ministry because they struggle to remain faithful. So I'm trying to help you. Faithfulness is not, I had a good week. You know, I didn't get drunk this week. I didn't get high this week. I didn't look at pornography for a week. I didn't sleep with somebody I'm not married to for a whole week. Yay, congratulations, that's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is not even being a good Christian for a year. It's a nice start. Faithfulness is developed by remaining faithful to God for years and years and a lifetime. That is faithfulness. The prophet Samuel, if you go back to the Old Testament, he anointed this young man, this shepherd boy named David. And he was a teenager at the time because Israel was going to need a new king. So the prophet anointed David to become the king of Israel. So you would expect that the very next day, they made David the king and everything was amazing. No, no, no. It took 13 years. 13 years from the time that the prophet anointed David to be king to the time that David actually became king. Because sometimes we think that when God's going to do something in our life, it's going to happen tomorrow. Like, God, do it now. Do it today. I'm in a hurry. I'm a busy person. God is never in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. We're like, I can't wait. He's like, oh, I can, because I'm going to test your faithfulness for 13 years. Because it was in that 13 years that David proved himself faithful, faithful to the Lord, faithful to the calling, faithful to worship. We know that in that time, David really developed his worship ministry. Look at the prophet Elijah. Elijah was another Old Testament prophet, and he was getting older. He knew that he needed to turn his prophetic ministry over to somebody else. He finds this young prophet, this young man named Elisha, and he takes his prayer mantle, his prayer cloth, and he pulls it off and he throws it down on the ground. And he says, Elisha, you will become the next me. You'll become the next prophet of Israel. And Elisha's like, yeah, it's all about me. Let me get Elisha.com and let me get my Instagram going, make sure I get a good at so I can get start developing followers. No, 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 no. It took 10 years. 10 years for Elisha to serve Elijah. And in that 10 years, Elisha needed to prove to God and to Elijah that he was going to remain faithful. Go back to Genesis. Young Joseph. Joseph has a dream from God. It was a real God dream. Hey, Joe, you're going to lead all the people of Israel. Actually, you're going to lead people from all around the world. And Joe's like, cool. Now what? Slavery. Joseph was sold into slavery. That's what was next. He had a prophetic dream that was actually from God, but instead, later, he wakes up in prison for a crime he didn't really commit. The test for Joseph was, can you remain faithful to God and faithful to the call on your life while you're in prison, while you're in suffering, while you're in obscurity? And like David, it took Joseph 13 years before Pharaoh made him king or vice king over all of Egypt. It took that long, 13 years. So what does that tell us about the character and nature of God? There is no fast pass to faithfulness. Faithfulness, we just grind it out day after day. There's no shortcut. Lord, I want to be faithful. Good. But I want to be faithful right now, fast. No, it takes a while. God's not in a hurry. He's going to test you. It's going to take time. God expects us to be faithful to him. Not just for a season, but for a lifetime. So the question is, can we remain faithful to God for the long haul? Even if you're in obscurity, even if nobody else knows you're being faithful. I saw John Pryor scooping up trash and leaves out of the parking lot this morning. Nobody was noticing. There were none of our social media photographers who were there to put it on Instagram. He was just scooping up trash. I noticed, John. He was being faithful to serve you and to serve our community by cleaning up our parking lot this morning. Nobody was noticing, but I was noticing. That's faithfulness. When you do it to honor God and to serve God, even though nobody notices you. Why? Just because you love God. The funny thing is this. We often don't even really know if we're being faithful or not. John was showing up for parking lot duty and noticed some trash, and he went and got a trash can thing and started scooping up trash. He wasn't like, I'm going to be the faithful man of God today. No, he just loved God. And there's other people that we don't even know when we're not being faithful. Like, we're just living our life. We're just doing our thing. And if we would be able to zoom out and examine your life, we're like, well, I don't know if I'm being faithful or not. And part of the problem is, especially in the church, we've redefined faithfulness. We've redefined what it means to be faithful. So in a minute, I'm going to talk about three things that faithfulness isn't and five things that'll help you to develop enduring faithfulness. Because in the Bible, I read all these stories that describe being faithful to God as being faithful to love God when there's no reward on earth, faithful to read and study the Bible and get the Word of God, that you would develop the knowledge of the Bible, not because you have to, but because you want to. Just because you love God and you love His Word. I'm faithful to serve God because I love God and I love people. I'm faithful to worship. I'm faithful to serve. I'm faithful to give. I'm faithful to live holy. There's no other reason that I love God. I'm crazy about Him. And instead, in the church culture today, if we've redefined what it means to be faithful, here's three things that faithfulness isn't. Number one, I'll be faithful as long as it's fun. I'm only going to do it if it's fun for me. Serving in the parking lot in August? It's not fun. It's 110 degrees in August in Texas. That's not fun for almost an hour to, hey, smile. Don't forget to smile. Welcome. Nobody wants to smile in 110 degrees. Nobody. But they do it because they love God. But what if you said, hey, it's going to be 110. It won't be fun. Oh, if it's not going to be fun, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to serve on the tech team unless we're having fun. Everything goes right. I'm not going to serve on the worship team unless it sounds good and it's a lot of fun. I'm not going to sign up for that missions trip to wherever we're going unless it's going to be super fun for me, because I'm only about having fun for Jesus. I only want to do all the fun things, and it's just got to be fun for me. Huh? Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 speaks to the faithful fun. If you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Shots fired at the fun church by Jesus. Being faithful isn't always fun. Being faithful is sometimes picking up a cross, a thing that'll kill you, and making a sacrifice. That's being faithful, and sometimes it's sacrificial. It's not fun. Sometimes it's just a grind to be faithful. And sometimes you're just doing something that's not necessarily fun, and we do it simply because God asked us to do it. And you know what? That's okay, because if you're unfaithful in these situations, it's not actually for your benefit. I know that's so mind-boggling for the modern American church. It's not actually for you. It's for the Lord and for those around us. Not everything in life has to be fun. Can I speak to the under 30 crowd? Not everything in life has to be fun. Sometimes we do things that just have an eternal impact for no other reason but that we love God and we love other people. And if I'm just being honest, if you will be faithful to God in the long run, yeah, you might not be smiling every day in the daily grind, but you will smile when you step back and you look over your whole life of serving God and serving others. It might be a grind. Can I just be totally honest? I do this for a living, and I don't always feel like reading my Bible. It doesn't always make me smile to study Leviticus, right? I'm just being honest. On Tuesday nights, I don't lead Tuesday nights anymore. My daughter Joy leads Tuesday nights. So sometimes I don't feel like coming to Tuesday night prayer. I know, I said it. We'll edit it out of the video. I mean, nobody else is ever going to hear me say that. It won't be on the podcast. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to Tuesday night prayer. But you know what? If I'm in town, I'm here. You know why? It's a grind. It's not always the funnest thing to do, but sometimes I need to read my Bible. Sometimes I need to pray. My personality, those of you that have known me for a while, sometimes I don't always want to be nice. Just being on my staff, laugh, y'all, shut up, all y'all. So, I'm a lot nicer than y'all think I should be. My personality, like, Julie's always nice, no matter what. Me, my personality, not always nice. But I choose to be nice. I choose to serve other people. Faithfulness is not about making me smile, it's about making God smile. Number two, I'll be faithful as long as it fits into my busy schedule. I'm a busy person. I want faithfulness, but I don't want inconvenience. I'll be faithful, I just won't be flexible. I want faithfulness on my terms, not your terms. What time does the worship team have to be here to warm up? 7:45? Nope, not that faithful. 9:55, I'm going to roll up in this joint and get 2 more hours of sleep. Okay, that's fine. There are other very faithful people that will serve at that time. I'll be faithful, but it's got to fit into my schedule. Can I just ask you a question? Who is in charge of your schedule? Who orders your day? Is Jesus just the Lord of your heart, or is he also the Lord of your iCal? Android people, iCal is the calendar that's on your phone. I don't know what you guys call it, so. Number three. I'll be faithful as long as all my friends are with me. I'll be faithful as long as the crowd is being faithful. Can I just be honest? I graduated Bible college with, I think, 650 people in my Bible college class. I would estimate more than half are not in the ministry 20-something years later. There's a lot of them that have cheated on their wives or whatever. They're not even married anymore. And there's a small number of people that aren't even Christians anymore. Sometimes the crowd doesn't always choose to be faithful. They would rather do their own thing. And sometimes you're going to be picking up trash in a parking lot alone. There was nobody with John this morning at 7:45 picking up trash. He was by himself. The team came later. Now, there is a team, and there is a worship team, and there is a parking lot team, and there is a security team, and a tech team, and a kids church. There are teams. We do get to make friends. We're not going to always be alone. I'm just saying we don't do it only to be a part of the gang. Sometimes we do it just because we love God. So as much as our society today has tried to redefine faithfulness, the fun thing is God has already defined faithfulness in His Word. Let's see what that says. Here's five things that the Bible will define and help you to develop enduring faithfulness. We're going to start in Luke chapter 16. Jesus is telling this story. He's like, man, how can I illustrate what it means to be faithful? Oh, I know. If people will become faithful, I will pour out the power of God. Most people are like, I want the power of God. I'll take some of the power of God. Jesus is like, cool. Let me use money as an example. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. If you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the big things. If you're dishonest in the little things, then you won't be honest with greater responsibility. If you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If we can't be faithful in how we steward our money, save our money, spend our money, give our money, if we can't be faithful with money, then he can't be trusted. We can't be trusted with his power. Because that's the real valuable thing. Money is not valuable. We're seeing that today in Venezuela. Billions of Venezuelan money completely worthless. Completely, they're using it for toilet paper. They're using it to burn in their homes. It's completely worthless. We put so much value in our money, but compared to the riches of heaven, what is it about? What's it worth? So it's a great definition. It's a great test of the definition of our hearts. If we can do the little things well in our money, then we're proving to God that we're faithful in the bigger things. So let's just deal with the little things. We'll deal with money actually in a minute. Can we be faithful with the little things? The things that nobody else sees. Can we be faithful to God in the little bitty details of how we live our Christian life? Can we? Nobody else is going to see it. Nobody else is going to know. Just us. Can we be faithful to God in the little things? Number two, can we be faithful to God in the difficult things? We've already mentioned a few stories that were difficult. And can I just be honest? Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he was encouraging the church to remain faithful even though they were facing great persecution. The church that Peter was writing to was being arrested, beaten, and murdered for being Jesus followers. And Peter was like, hey, remain faithful even in these difficult times. Can I just be honest? People outside of the body of Christ think that we're nuts. Like, they just don't get it. Why would you shout? Why would you raise your hands? Why would you sing? Why would you give all that money? Why would you go on? Like, you're just crazy. Why would you go on overseas to tell people about Jesus? You're all a bunch of nuts. Yeah, I'm totally nuts for Jesus. I'm crazy for Jesus. He's amazing. He's real to me. And I'll tell you, when you've seen blind eyes open, when you've seen a lady come back from the dead, when you've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, it's like, you can't tell me God's not real. I know he's real. So if he's real, I'm going to be one of those fanatical, crazy people that loves Jesus so desperately and that loves people so well. Look about it this way. In Peter and Paul's day, they were literally arresting and beating and killing people because they believed that Jesus is Lord. And here's Peter like, hey, remain faithful even during a difficult time. And we're like, well, yeah, but I can't get out of bed to show up at church on time because it's raining a little. And it's just cozy to lay it. What? Is that the most difficult thing in your life? Is it's cold and rainy so you can't go to church? Or you were at a wedding on Saturday night and you had to drive back in town. You got home at midnight. Oh, I couldn't possibly go to church 10 hours later? Are you going to praise God on only the good days? Or will you also praise God on the bad days? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three guys in the Old Testament, they were living in a foreign country, but they wanted to remain faithful to God. And the king was like, everybody bow down and worship this idol. And Shadrach, these good Jewish kids, were like, no. If you don't, we're going to put you in this fiery furnace and we're going to cook you. And they're like, cool, but we're not bowing down to an idol because we worship God. No, you're going to face this huge trial. They're like, we're going to remain faithful to God. Here's what they actually said, and we don't have time to go into the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, facing death, facing The fiery furnace said, our God will deliver us. And if he doesn't, and we cook, I'm never going to bow. Will you remain faithful to God even when you face difficult things? Can you be faithful in the little things? Can you be faithful in the difficult things? Can you be faithful in your finances? And I know we've already addressed this, but I will just remind you that God will always use finance to test our faithfulness. Do we trust money more than we trust God? Do we give to God when he's asking us to tithe and when he's asking us to give offerings? Do we trust God that he is in charge? And it's a test, not of our faith, it's a test of our faithfulness. I remember this story. I was working with a ministry guy. He was an evangelist. Now, this was back in like the 90s, early 90s, and he was traveling around the country just speaking in different churches and encouraging people and loving on people and seeing people get born again. It was a great ministry. But he was young, and he had two small children. So they had like a minivan, and they were literally just traveling around, living out of the minivan, and then sleeping in hotels and motels that the church would put them up in. But he was watching these other ministry guys that had like a motorhome, and he's like, that would be so much easier. I could put my kids to bed in the same bed every night. We could cook and eat at the same kitchen and table every night. It would be so much easier if we could get like a nice but used motorhome. So he was really praying about it. And in his heart, he felt the Lord say, I'm going to provide for you a motorhome. So, and then next week, he was going to speak at like a week-long or weekend-long, like he was in a Friday night meeting, like a Saturday youth meeting, a Saturday night meeting, Sunday morning church, and then Sunday night. And he was like, Lord, I'm going to be believing you for a big, big offering this weekend so I can put money down and get a, like a nice used RV for my family. It'd be so much easier for traveling. But he didn't tell anybody. Just him and his wife, just praying about it, just believing God for it. And he never mentioned it in any of the services. And after each service, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the pastor would take up a special offering. You know, they'd pass the bucket and people would give. And it was supposed to go all for his ministry. And then after the services, the next day, people come up and be like, hey, I can tell you're believing God for something big. The Lord spoke to my heart. So I gave big in that offering last night. I gave big in that offering this morning. We're believing God with you. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you're believing God for something. We gave $500. We gave $1,000. He remembered there was this one couple that said, Pastor, we gave $10,000 in the offering for you tonight because we can tell you're believing God for something big. So he was calculating by Sunday night, there could easily be $25,000 or $30,000 in that offering. And he was like, we're gonna buy an RV. Like this week, I'm going to get my family moved in, get some stability, some you know, something for my family to bless them. Sunday night after the last meeting, the pastor goes in the office, writes a check, puts his arm around him and goes, brother, I'm sorry, there wasn't more, and hands him a check for $5,000. The church kept, or the pastor stole, all that extra money that was dedicated for this guy and for his ministry. And he wanted to, like, say something. But the Lord told him not to say anything. And the next week, somebody gave them a bus, like a motorhome bus. Just gave it to them. And then they had gas money to get started. If we will be faithful with the little things, we'll be faithful with the difficult things, and we'll be faithful with the money things. See, faith in church is when we're trusting God. Faithfulness is when God can trust us. Number four. Can you be faithful in the God things? Can you be faithful with these God things? Go back to Samuel. Before Samuel got into ministry, when he was born, it's a long miracle story. But the priest of Israel at that time was a guy named Eli. And he wasn't a great priest. He wasn't a great guy. And he had two wicked sons. And Eli's sons were the priests that were serving. And these were wicked men. They like did some godly things, but mostly wicked things. And the Lord said this, and we won't read it, but just write it down if you want to. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. The Lord says, I am looking for a priest that'll be faithful to my word. I'm telling you, God is looking for you and I to be the priest over our home, the priest over our office, the priest over our neighborhood. And he's looking for us to be faithful in the God things. Can we be faithful to read our Bible? Not just once, all the time, over a lifetime, develop that habit. Can we be faithful to become a person of prayer? I don't just pray for 2 minutes at the end of worship. I don't just pray on Tuesday night. I'm a man of prayer. I'm a woman of prayer. I'm a prayer person. That's what I do. I pray. Can we be faithful to live holy in an unholy world? When nobody else is living holy, can I choose, I'm going to remain faithful to God by living holy? Can I be faithful to the fundamentals of Christianity? Going to church and giving and serving and being baptized. Can I talk about baptism for a minute? Being faithful to be baptized in water? If you have raised your hand in any of our services and you've repented of your sin and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, your next step is to be baptized in water. It is absolutely your, it's what we do. If you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that's on the inside. Being baptized in water, it's a public declaration of what's happened privately in your heart. Remember Jesus' final words on earth? Like, he's already died on the cross. He's already risen from the dead. He's about to return up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, he's telling the disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them. So if we are Jesus' disciples, our next step is to be baptized in water. It's just the fundamentals of faith, but can we remain faithful to do the fundamentals? Next Sunday is baptism service. If you want to be baptized in water, pull out the connect card in front of you, fill out your information on there, and in a few minutes drop it in the offering bucket so that we can email you and get you signed up for baptism for next Sunday. Final. We can be faithful to God in the little things. We can be faithful to God in the difficult things. We can be faithful to God in the money things. We can be faithful to God in the God things. Can we be faithful to God to the end? Can we remain faithful? On Friday night, I was talking to the men that were here for the men's night. And I talked about in one section that in the end times, before Jesus comes back, things are going to get difficult for the church. Like sometimes, in a lot of ways, things are going to get bad for Jesus followers. And Jesus gives us some encouragement that even when things are getting bad, Jesus is encouraged. So remember these encouraging words from Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 9. You will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you're Jesus followers. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that word to comfort me. I thank you for comforting me that even though I love you, everybody else is going to hate me. And what about the church people? What about the Jesus followers? Will they all remain faithful? Verse 10, many will turn away from me. And then they're going to betray you. And then they're going to hate you. Be false prophets, and they're going to deceive many people. Sin will be rampant. The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, they're the ones that are going to be saved. If you can remain faithful to the end, you will. Jesus is like, hey, all the Christians, you're going to be hated, arrested, killed. Church people are going to walk out of church and they're going to hate you. But don't sweat it. It's cool. Because if you remain faithful all the way to the end, you will be saved. My question for you is, can we remain faithful to God all the way to the end? Am I being faithful in the little things? Look at, just close your eyes. Just imagine this list. Am I being faithful to God in the little things that he asked me to do? Am I being faithful to God when I face difficult things? Can I be faithful to God with financial things? Can I be faithful to God in the God things? And can I be faithful of God to the end of things? Being faithful to God is just the first step. There's all types of different faithfulness. But being faithful to God is the first step. And let's just be totally honest. If you weren't faithful to God in some capacity, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be in church if you didn't have some amount of faithfulness. So just by showing up today, you're showing God, hey, I'm faithful to you. Whether you haven't been in church in a minute or you're an old timer, you say, God, I'm faithful. So my advice is be faithful to God, not a faker. Let's close our eyes. Let's ask God to speak to our lives, speak to our hearts. God, am I truly being faithful to you? Faithful in the little things. Am I being faithful in when I face difficult things? Or am I trying to self-medicate? When I face difficult things, am I trying to medicate myself with anger or anxiety or fear or loneliness or depression or smoking weed or getting high or looking at porn or sleeping with somebody I'm not married to? Am I doing my thing instead of your thing? Am I being faithful in my finances? Am I showing you my faithfulness by how well I care about the money that you give me? Am I being faithful, God, in these God things, serving in the church, worshiping, being baptized? Some of the fundamentals of these God things, reading my Bible, spending time in prayer, am I being faithful? And Lord, will I be faithful to the end of things? I'd like to think so, but examine my heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, being faithful to God is step one. It's the foundation for all other types of faithfulness. And if you are here this morning and you would be honest with God and honest with yourself and say, I have not been faithful to God, but I want to be. I wouldn't consider myself a Jesus follower, but I want to be. And whether it's the first time in your life or maybe it's the first time in a long time, you want to pray. You want to repent of sin. You want to ask God to forgive you. You want to start over and wipe the slate clean and start your journey of faithfulness all over again today. Today is your day for salvation. Today is your day for life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would like to know who I'll pray for. I'll be happy to lead you in that prayer, but I need to know who I'm praying for. So whether it's the first time ever in your life, for the first time in a long time, you want to pray and you want to start your walk of faith to become faithful, would you raise your hand up real high and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm here today and I want to get right with God. I see your hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand up real high. And just, I see your hand on the side. I see your hand on the side. Anybody else? Raise your hand up real high. Come on, somebody. I see your hand on the side. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we hop up on our feet and let's all pray this prayer together. If you believe it in your heart, I want you to pray it out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn from living my life to turn to you, to be faithful to you, to take up my cross, to follow you, to live for you, to love you, to be faithful in the little things. Lord, I receive the gift of salvation. And I thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for overcoming death. And I receive life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, for the four or five of you that raised your hand, I'm so proud of you. Man. Hey, welcome to the family. Yeah? So now we can all be hated by the world. Come on, somebody. Now we can all be arrested and beaten together. Hey, you wanted to be faithful even if you were going to be alone. Now we're in this thing together.